Hi, and welcome to Living Word Northwest's podcast. We are so glad that you're here. Our goal at Living Word is to reach people, touch lives, and make a difference. Our hope is that this week's message encourages you and those listening with you. Remember, God wants to connect with you on a personal level, and we don't think it's an accident that you're here. If you or someone like you needs help along that journey, we are here for you. Stay tuned after this message on how to connect with us, but for now, sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's sermon.
The presence of the Lord is here. He's given us a word, and we're just going to roll with it and preach from this and teach from this atmosphere. Because the Lord has something specific to speak to us. You hear that overflow? He's got something specific to speak to you online. Hey, Medina family, I know you're watching online this morning, right? You told me this morning. So he's got something specific that he wants to speak to you, all you online. And he's got something specific to speak to us this morning. But I'm interested to see where he takes this, because there is something, there's a something right now. That's a something. I don't know what it is. And you know, actually, Heidi and I don't normally address you guys like this. And I guess maybe this is wise, because God's put something on our heart this morning. That's a little bit different than what we're used to preaching about. And so I'm just going to ask you to go there this morning and open up your heart this morning, because this is a now word. It's a now word. And this is the way God works. He doesn't have a plan and then rearrange everything when something goes on out here, right? He gave us this now word for this now moment. He doesn't operate in time and space like we do. He deposited this in our heart already, knowing it would be needed for the now. Amen? So we're just going to go with that. And what it is, is I believe he's asking us to raise a standard. I don't know how else to say it. He's asking us to, well, just like during worship, I guess, he's asking us to kind of step to this new place, right? To kind of look up and step to this new place. And I believe that as we do this, as we raise this standard, it's going to initiate and cause our families to thrive, cause us to thrive in a new way. Amen? And so let's just do that. Let's just go there this morning. We live in a time where everyone sets their own standard. We live in a time where everybody is kind of their own alpha and omega, right? And unfortunately, it's actually been like this for a long time. And unfortunately, the church has said, well, let's raise this standard. And they've expected perfection. And they've said, if you're perfect, then you've raised the standard. And if you live this certain way, then you've raised the standard and can be this example for everyone to follow. And in no situation, in no scenario does perfection do anything of the sort. In fact, really perfection just produces pride. And so we are going to kind of look into how Paul looked at this idea of this standard. Of this new way of thinking, this new way of living, this new culture, because it's necessary in today's world. It's necessary with everything we got going on right now. Amen? And it's necessary in the church, which means it needs to start inside of us. And Paul realized that a well-lived life stems from being well-loved. And we live in a culture where people haven't been loved very well, right? And in growing up, they haven't been loved very well. And because of what you can say at the push of a button, people aren't loved well. But Paul, you see, Paul realized that when you are well loved, you become kind of an understanding, compassionate, loving person towards all people in all situations, right? No matter what's going on, you have this ability, this virtue, this standard to impact other people, not by being perfect, but by being well loved, okay? And so we're gonna jump into this because as our country moves into, you know, continuously tumultuous times and more challenges and more challenges, we need to realize that God still wants to use us to be these well-loved difference makers,
yeah,
right?
Even more so.
Even more so. And it's not just with protests and petitions, although there's a time and a place for that. It's by the way that we live. Ooh, PTSD coming out all over the room. I can feel it right now. But you told me you'd go there with me this morning, right? So take a deep breath. We're going to go there this morning because I believe to live this type of virtuous life, we have to have this aggressive pursuit of the love of our Abba Father so that we can truly impact our family, our marriage, our city, our community, the way that God has called us to. Amen? So I'm going to read to you out of Colossians 3. Verse 10. And this is going to kind of set up the definition of this transformation that happens on the inside of us and allows us and helps us to impact not just our own selves, but those around us. Okay? Colossians 3:10. You guys ready for this? Overflow, you ready for this? Louder. For you have acquired new creation life, which is continually being, say it with me, renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. In this new creation life, I love this, your nationality makes no difference, or your ethnicity, education, economic status, they matter nothing. For it is Christ that means everything as he lives in every one of us. You are always and dearly loved by God, church. So robe yourselves with the virtues of God, since you have been divinely chosen to be holy. Be merciful as you endeavor to understand others. And be compassionate, showing kindness toward all. Be gentle and humble, unoffendable in your patience with others. Tolerate the weaknesses of those in the family of faith, forgiving one another in the same way you have been graciously forgiven by Jesus Christ. If you find fault with someone, release this same gift of forgiveness to them. For love is supreme and must flow through each of these virtues. Love becomes the mark of true maturity. Let your heart be always guided by the peace of the anointed one who called you to peace as part of his one body. And always be thankful. Let the word of Christ live in you richly, flooding you with all wisdom. Apply the scriptures as you teach and instruct one another with the psalms and with festive praises and with prophetic songs given to you spontaneously by the Spirit. So sing to God with all your hearts. Let every activity of your lives and every word that comes from your lips be drenched with the beauty of our Lord Jesus, the Anointed One. And bring your constant praise to God the Father because of what Christ has done for you. So what does this mean for us? Because Paul wrote this, right? Paul wrote this while he was in prison. He wrote it to a church in a city that he'd never visited to establish a relationship with them. And he was calling out these heretical leaders of the church and trying to make it about Jesus at the center, his sufficiency, his supremacy, right? And so what does this then mean for us? And that means we need to ask some questions. And here are the questions the Lord dropped in my heart. Does my view of Jesus impact every area of my life? Am I just trying to live by the doctrine or live from my revelation of Christ's love for me? If I've died with Christ, what old ways in me have I allowed to die as well? If I'm raised with Christ, what new ways have been raised within me? If Christ has transformed me, have I allowed him to transform all of me? These are heavy questions. This is what I think about during the week. Pray for me. Because in today's society and in today's culture, if we don't allow Christ to transform us, someone else will. Something else will. There's a lot going on out there. And I believe it's no longer okay to, like, quote, you know, Romans 12 too, right? We're called to be not conformed to this world, but transformed, right, by the renewing of our mind. It's not okay for us just to quote that and be cute about it and be cliche about it. My kids don't need cliche Brandon. My kids don't need cute Christian Brandon. All right? My kids need substance right now. You know, as they struggle through distance learning and get ready to go back to school mid-February, right? And they're living some sort of weird dream life of like 20-year-old adults inside of a 14-year-old body, you know, because they're, you know, there's, it's just, because we're not those parents that are like really good homeschool parents. You know, it's been a struggle. My kids don't need cliche. Romans 12, 1 through 2, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices and live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart, for this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you. Commentary says, don't be squeezed into the mold of this present age, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. Satisfying and perfect? Puke. I thought this was a grace church. Correct. See, our definition of satisfying and perfect, it's become cynical. It's become distorted. And we say, I want to be transformed and I want to impact those around me and I want to impact my kids in this community and I want to live a well-lived and a well-loved life, but I just can't be satisfying to the Lord and perfect all the time. It's crushed me. But look at what it said in Colossians 3:10. Kevin, put it up there for him again. You have acquired new creation life, which is continually being renewed into the likeness of the one who created you, giving you the full revelation of God. We need to redefine how transformation works and what it is, because transformation works because it's not works. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. If you don't like the Bible, don't come to church. For it was only through this wonderful grace that we believed in him. Nothing we did could ever earn this salvation, for it was the gracious gift from God that brought us to Christ. Whew. So no one will ever be able to boast, for salvation is never a reward for good works or human striving. We have become his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each one of us. For we are joined to Jesus, the anointed one. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny and the good works we would do to fulfill it. It's already set into motion. Satisfying and pleasing are already in the plan without you saying yes. It's there. It's in your DNA. It was a free gift that was given to you when Jesus paid the price on the cross. He said, you are now empowered to live a virtuous life. You are now empowered to live a holy life and a righteous life. What's the big deal? This world needs righteousness and holiness and virtue. They do. Our kids need it. Let me say it again for all of you that have PTSD. It's not perfection. It's not about what we do. It's what's already been done. It's about us, right? Receiving, letting him, letting his destiny play itself out like poetry, right? All right. So what's the greatest thing we can do to impact our kids and those around us and our lives and our hearts and the challenges and the things that we face amidst such an unstable environment? Unstable. Did I say that right? Unstable environment. We run to Jesus and we receive his grace. And he gives us grace for our need, and he gives us grace for seed. grace, for need, undeserved favor, for need, that strength, even though you couldn't get to sleep right on time, that good attitude, even though you're cranky, Brandon, you get that grace for need, and he gives you a grace for seed, and we let our strength be renewed on the inside of us every day because we are new creatures, we are new creations created in Christ Jesus. These works have already been put into our destiny, right? And we remind ourselves that we are a chosen generation, that we are a royal priesthood, and he renews our minds to remember those things, that Jesus is still Jesus, right? That he is still healing and still transforming and still renewing. And we stop focusing on what we think Jesus should do out there, and we start focusing on what we need Jesus to do in here, and we let him renew this. And we let him recreate this. And we do what we say we believe, right? And we lean in to him. Oh, I'm losing my voice this morning. We do what we preach. Oh, you just need Jesus. Oh, when will the world see that they just need Jesus? I need Jesus. And as I'm transformed on the inside, sometimes one little tiny baby step at a time. Oh, we had a situation. We had a refrigerator where like the water thing was rusting out of the front, right? So we had to replace the refrigerator. So we replaced the refrigerator. I don't spend a lot of money on anything. So when I spend a lot of money on a refrigerator, you better believe I'm like, keeping that thing pristine. I walk downstairs the day after we get the nice new refrigerator, and after I had taken off that, like, you know, plastic stuff that peels off and you got to get all the little nooks, and I take it, a nice new refrigerator, no rust, no water leaking out of the bottom. In the morning I walk down and I look, and there's scratches all across the front. If you know my personality, as I scream at you this morning, I called Heidi and screamed at her. I didn't blame her. I was just mad and screaming. Just let me scream at you. I'm so mad. And of course, Heidi's like, okay, babe. Yep. You can scream at me. Praise the Lord. I wasn't blaming her. Because my son wanted to find out if his old magnet would still stick to the new fridge. Jane, stop laughing. Dear Lord. I don't remember. I think I just needed to tell you that story to get it off my chest one more time.
Character.
Yeah, that's Heidi's response. Oh, it makes our house look lived in. Oh, yeah.
Marks of love. Marks of love.
Our carpet used to look like somebody just basically let a herd of hogs run around our house. So we finally decided, hey, we're going to put in some new carpet. Green marker on the carpet. Day two.
It came out.
I didn't tell you this. So I had just got done, like, very sternly explaining to my son to never put a magnet on the fridge again in his entire life. And as I'm talking to him, I've got a frame in my hand. I didn't tell you this. I'm changing the picture in a frame, and I drop the glass piece of the frame, and it hits the dishwasher, which also had to be replaced because it leaked water every time it ran. And it sounded like a herd of elephants, you know, every time we turned it on. I drop the piece of glass. It hits the new dishwasher and scratches it. I didn't tell you that. Day two!
Our house is very loved and well lived in.
At least give me a year before we start beating the... The week after we moved into our house, when we first bought it, one of the reasons we bought the house is because there was beautiful trees in the backyard. The week after, we're sleeping one night, we wake up and, man, it sounds like there's a tornado out there. This storm's pretty bad. We go downstairs the next morning and two, like, 25-year-old trees had completely fallen down. I stood there staring out the window feeling like I had lost my child. It's like the Lord says, I'm not saying the Lord does bad things, but I feel like he almost did these things. Like, what do you care about? What's important to you? The whole point of that story, as I'm just wasting your time right now, I'm so sorry. But the whole point of that story, what was the point of that story? The whole point of that story is that we have all of these opportunities, ready, to be tested. Our patience, our virtue, our love, to be tested time and time again by even things inside of the own four walls of our homes, let alone everything that's going on around us. God used 2020 to strengthen our bones and thicken our skin so that we can handle whatever 2021 throws at us. And there's some things being thrown at us. And we need to remind ourselves that we have these virtues, like Paul told the church of Colossae. We have these virtues that can truly help and impact this compassion, this grace that we can receive and we can also give to truly help people, to truly not just be parents, but to genuinely love our kids so they feel well loved, right? To truly engage in our marriages in a way that helps them to thrive and cause this thriving on the inside of us and on our kids. And to truly be men and women of integrity in the business arena to help other people and to help these communities that we live in grow and thrive. I mean, there's all these things that come through the virtues, not that we earn, but that God has placed on the inside of us. And He's calling us to step up, to look up, and to raise that standard and say, this is who I am, because this is who Jesus is. It's not perfection. Colossians 3:12 stated, right? You're always and dearly loved by God. He's got you in this transformation. I want to title this message From Condemnation to Transformation. Not what am I doing to, but just who has God, am I well, I'm well loved. And He's transforming me. And I don't have the roadmap for you, church. I can't tell you what the destination looks like. God knows it. And He's taking each of us on this wonderful journey. And for each of us, it looks different. For some of us, it's easier than others. For some of us, like me, it's more difficult than others, especially when there's refrigerators involved, right? We've all got our struggles and our challenges, but He is transforming us into these virtuous men and women of God to make an impact in our world, whatever that world looks like for you. Babe, what do you have to add to this?
It's just so cool because the Lord gave me a story that really, it's the stories are in the Bible for a reason. There's so much gold inside of them, and what Brandon is saying is exactly what this story exemplifies. So it's Jacob, and most of you have heard of Jacob, how he deceived and manipulated his brother and his father into getting the inheritance and the blessing that Esau, his brother, deserved, that Esau, it belonged to him. And so he deceived his way into getting that blessing and inheritance. And when Esau found out that he lost his blessing and inheritance from his father, he said, Jacob, you are a deceiver. And he wanted to kill him. So Jacob ran away and lived with his uncle Laban for 20 years. Wow. And he grew a family and he increased greatly in his possessions, his dishwashers and refrigerators and his livestock, and had tons of it, right?
I like this story.
And then the Lord said, Jacob, I want you to go back to your home, the place where you were born. And remember, I am with you. Jacob took everything and he started heading home. And on his way back home, he caught word that Esau and an army of 400 men were coming towards him. Last time he talked to Esau, he wanted to kill him. So Jacob is gripped with fear and he asks the Lord, rescue me and my family. And in Genesis 32, during the night, he crossed the Jabbok River with all of his family, all of his possessions, and he sent them ahead into safety, and he stayed behind by himself. Jabbok means emptying. He was empty of all of his possessions, all the things that he cared so much about, all of his family, everything that he had, where he was alone and he was empty. He was fearful of the future. He was fearful to face his brother, knowing that he could die and his family could die because of his past choices.
Yeah.
So in Genesis 32, 24 and 25, this left Jacob all alone in the camp. And a man came and wrestled with him until the dawn began to break. When the man saw that he would not win the match, he touched Jacob's hip and wrenched it out of socket. We know that this man was either the Lord or an angel who was wrestling with Jacob through the dark night. And we may not physically wrestle with the Lord, but we do wrestle in our minds and hearts. Yeah. We wrestle with fear, yeah, anxiety, right, doubt, depression, right, decisions, direction, yeah, disappointment, the unknown, change, relationships. We wrestle with believing who God says he is, yeah, or what he is telling us to do. We wrestle with pride. We wrestle with jealousy, comparison, just name it. Yeah. We wrestle with our past. We wrestle with our future. Future. We wrestle with our identities.
That's our list. I don't know what yours is, but it's ours.
With who we are, right? That's what we wrestle with. And this is the beautiful part of the story, is that the Lord is not ashamed,
right,
offended,
right,
or angry at, right, the things that we wrestle with. In fact, he wants to wrestle them with us.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he does.
That's who he is in the midst of the mess, in the midst of the darkest night, the lowest point, the isolation, the tension of in between, that transition from one place to another. Our Lord, even when we're running from him, our Lord will intensely pursue us and chase us down,
yeah,
and he will say, remember, I am with you.
Yeah.
And Jacob's hip was wrenched out of its socket to forever remind him of that experience in the Lord's presence. And sometimes we do have physical scars that remind us of the Lord's goodness and his faithfulness. Sometimes it's a mental scar,
yeah,
something that we won't forget, that we'll always remember.
Yeah, I feel
that. That time, that moment when the Lord met us where we were at, he rescued us, he picked us up, he turned us around, he set our feet on, yeah, solid ground, he changed us, he renewed us, he healed us, he spoke to us. Those mental scars, right, that we remember, and that we remember for ourselves and remember for other people too, of his goodness and his faithfulness and his love, that he was always with us.
Yeah.
In verses 26, then the man said, let me go, for the dawn is breaking. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. Jacob knows now that the Lord is the source of what exactly what he needs. He is the source of his fulfillment. He is the source of his love, right? He knows that that is where he is going to find that. And what happened is, as we let go of those things and we don't let go of the Lord and we let him, like you said, we let him hold us, every single time healing happens and renewal happens and transformation happens in that process,
yes,
of holding on to him and letting him hold on to us.
Yes.
In verse 27, what is your name? The man asked, and he replied, Jacob. Jacob means deceiver. He was saying, I am deceiver. I am manipulator. I am liar.
Wow.
It's what he did. It's how Esau saw him. It's how he saw himself. When the Lord asks us who we are, what do we say? Do we say, well, he saw me this way, she saw me this way, it's what I've done? We base our identity on those things. But our mistakes and our failures and even our deliberate disobedience. It does not ever describe our true identity and who He has created us to be.
Yeah.
Because when Jacob crossed the Jabbok River, he emptied himself of his past, of how others saw him, what others said, how he saw himself. He emptied himself of those things so that he could be open to know how not he saw, but how he sees him, how our Father sees us moving in this direction, right? Who we are now moving, not then.
It's good.
And now he's in this position, right? He's open. And listen to this in verse 28. Your name will no longer be Jacob, the man told him. From now on, you will be called Israel because you have fought with God and with men and have won. His father gave him a new name, his true identity. Israel means prince with God. God was saying, you are a prince because I am with you.
Yeah.
Israel means prevails with God. He was saying to Jacob, you prevail, you overcome, you triumph, you are victorious. When it gets dark, the sun will rise again. When you fall, you will get up again. You overcome, you prevail because I am with you. That is who you are, Jacob,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
That's who you are. Not this, but this.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jacob named that place Peniel, which means face of God.
Wow.
Every single time we are in the presence of God, just like now, just like this morning during worship, every single time renewal happens and transformation. We can't help it. It's just the way that He is. He renews that inside of us.
Right, right.
And in His presence, we bring our problem, right? And He does not take the problem away. What He does is He prepares us and He provides exactly what we need to face that problem and prevail.
Yeah.
When Jacob saw the face of God, he was able to now face his brother. That inside of him was renewed so that he could face what was on the outside with the Lord's strength, with His courage, with His love, right? And he was ready to face his brother. And as Jacob left that place, dawn was breaking. The sun was rising. The sun was not just rising on the outside, but the sun was rising within him.
Yeah.
He was a changed man. It was a new day. He was a new man.
Yeah.
And he had this limp on the outside, but on the inside, his strength was renewed. And he was stronger than ever to face whatever may come.
Yeah.
And I want to end it with this, and this is the best part. This is who the Lord is, and He gives us these stories to describe who He is. In Genesis 33, Jacob saw Esau in the distance, and he bowed down 7 times before reaching him. What did Esau do? Esau ran to him, just like the father ran to his prodigal son. And he hugged him and he kissed him and they both wept together, because this is who the Lord is. This is His grace. This is His unconditional love, His never-ending second chances, His forever forgiveness. This is who He is. And what He's saying in this story and in this morning is that He doesn't want us to live on that other side of the river in condemnation, just like you were saying. And what other people are saying and how other people saw us and what we've done. He calls us to cross the river to the other side. And He says, come home. Come to my heart. Right? It's not about what was and what we were. It's about what is and who we are becoming. Sometimes there is this wrestle from this place to this place, but the wrestling is worth it. And I know it's dangerous to say, but I ask the Lord, welcome the wrestle, because there is gold in that in-between. There is in that wrestle and in that struggle. Yes, the struggle is real, but we know the Lord. And there are things in that wrestling where he, just like Jacob, revealed his identity. And he received a blessing in the wrestling because of the Lord. That's who he is. And in that wrestling now, his identity, his strength was renewed. Yeah. Inside of him, there was renewal. There was transformation to become all that God created him to be and to walk in the destiny that the Lord destined him to do with him, together with his Father.
Yeah, I just hear the Lord saying that some of you have been wrestling with a person. And the Lord is saying to you, let go of that person. And if you want to wrestle, come to me. Bring that to me. Bring that hurt or that hate to me. Work it out. Work it through with me. That's where the transformation that you've desired to see comes to fruition. I even sense there's somebody here this morning that your husband's not coming to church with you, and you don't like it because you're coming and you're bringing your kids, and you just want them to come, and you want to be here as a family. So whoever that is, maybe you're in the overflow, maybe you're online, maybe you're here. I don't know who it's for, but I hear God saying, stop wrestling with him and bring that battle to me. Work it out, you and me. Man, there's a transformation that happens. You know, we hear we're supposed to live these virtuous lives, so robe yourself with the virtues of God, you know, to be a difference maker. But that verse 12, starts with this sentence: you are always and dearly loved by God. So, robe yourselves. Not even with your virtues, but the virtues of God. You are dearly loved by God. You are. Thank you, Lord, that you dearly love us. That you freely give to us. That your love is unconditional for us. Think of that word, church, unconditional. Thank you, God, for that love. It makes no sense. So we simply just receive it, this free gift. And we look up above what we see right in front of us to see what you see. That aerial view, our destinies in your hands. In Jesus' name. Come on, wasn't that a good word this morning? Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for your spirit. Hallelujah.
Thanks again for joining us this week. We know that God meets us right where we are, no matter where that is. If you want to get plugged into our church community by joining one of our life groups, donate to our cause, or just learn more about the mission here at Northwest, please visit us at lwcc.org/Northwest. You can also text the word CONNECT to 612-688-3939. That's 612-688-3939. If this message encouraged you, it would probably encourage someone you know, so feel free to share it. We look forward to connecting with you and hope that you'll join us again next week.